The following audio is a Sunday sermon from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Para Vista, South Australia. For more information about the church, please go to paravista.org.au.
Well, good morning, friends. I'm Rolly Stahl, the other pastor here, and it's my joy to bring you the Word of God this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the love that you pour into your people. Thank you for the joy of this morning's celebration, and we pray that your Spirit would refresh us with joy in Jesus as we gather in this word from Paul, and that you refresh us and renew us on the journey ahead in his name. Amen. Well, today's theme is joy in the Lord always. And why we got the question there is because life is unpredictable and full of challenges. Would you agree with that? I mean, we face them throughout our lives. You go to primary school and you graduate and you're the top, and then you start at high school and you're at the bottom. You go to uni and you're starting at the bottom and you work your way to the top. You manage to get yourself a job and you start off as a newbie and no one respects you, and they give you all the dog's body jobs to do until you earn respect. And then you get a promotion and you discover you're at the bottom of another chain. Just when you manage to keep up with the rat race, along come bigger and faster rats. I think that seems to be what happens in our world. We have setbacks, we have problems, we have pain. And it's interesting, you just seem to get through one thing and something else pops up. Friends, maybe you're facing some tough challenges at the moment and you feel a bit overwhelmed. I don't know what they are, but maybe you've got some health issues or some mental health issues, either you or someone in your family. Perhaps you are struggling in family relationships or with friendships. Maybe you have some financial struggles, or you're simply just struggling in your faith to keep your eyes on Jesus. But in such times, worry and anxiety can be like two big hoods that sort of get around us and blanket us with a fog of darkness like shadowlands. And sometimes when worry and anxiety sort of envelope them in their sinister folds, it feels like we're lost and we don't know the next step to take forward, what direction to go in. And so the question, is it really possible to have joy all the time? Well, the bloke writing that is Paul, and he experienced more suffering and persecution than most of us will ever face in a lifetime. And Paul is writing to some Christian friends in a place called Philippi, and they're also facing persecution simply because they trust Jesus. And yet Paul urges his friends and also us, always be full of joy in the Lord. Notice he's not saying be joy in your problem or rejoice in your problems. That would be denial or delusional or just crazy. No, he's saying always be full of joy in the Lord, in the Lord Jesus. I say it again, rejoice. In this series, a number of times we've said joy doesn't depend on the circumstances we're in, because joy is something greater. Let me explain it from one of Paul's own stories. In Acts 16, we read that Paul and his friend Silas visited the city of Philippi. He's writing this letter to the same people. On that first visit, there was a woman that kept following them around, a woman that had a python spirit by which she predicted people's fortunes. And since she was a slave girl, she makes stacks of money for her owners. Well, Paul cast out this python spirit. She could no longer predict the future. And so her owners were grieved that they couldn't make money at her expense any longer. So they dragged Paul and Silas into the marketplace and stirred up trouble for them. And as a result, the Roman constables or soldiers got involved and the magistrates and ordered that they get stripped, beaten severely with rods, thrown into prison and their feet placed in stocks. So at the end of the day, They're in maximum security in jail, beaten, bloodied, battered and bruised. Now that's not much to be happy about, is it? But if you know the story, do you remember what they were doing at midnight? They were praying and worshipping and singing songs to God. That's joy in the midst of hardship, isn't it? Even in the midst of our suffering, believers find joy in the Lord Jesus. And it's because of Jesus we know that God has not abandoned us in our suffering. Hey, Jesus knows better than anyone what suffering is about. Because of Jesus we know that God has not stopped loving us. Because of Jesus we know that God will never tear up or cancel his promises or revoke his restoration plans for his world, including us. Jesus has brought us from darkness into light, and in that light he brings us into new life with him. Candida, this morning you were baptized into Jesus, into his light and life. And as we walk that journey of faith together as a community, we need to remember who and whose we are. We are loved and forgiven children of the living God. That's who we are. And as treasured children of the King, we live each day in his love, in his forgiveness, in his favour, in his delight. We get to do life with him. We get to participate in his good plans for his world, and we will inherit eternal life. Friends, no matter what we're facing, nothing's ever going to change that for people who walk the journey with Jesus. Amen. Right, let's go to the second thing. Prayer is the antidote to worry. Hands up if you ever worry or are anxious. Guilty as charged, Your Honour. Remember what Jesus says about worry? He says you don't need to worry because you've got a Father in heaven who loves you to pieces and what is watching over you to do you good. Jesus tells us about the futility of worry. Who of you can add a single good thing to your life or a moment to your life through worrying? Anybody? It doesn't do anything. It doesn't fix anything. It doesn't change anything. The only thing worry adds to our lives is stress and fear. A couple of things that God doesn't want his kids to carry. Worry and anxiety, it robs us of joy and peace. And Paul echoes Jesus' words, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. What's Paul saying? Well, whatever you worry about, why don't you pray about it? Why don't you get that thing and just put it in God's hands and say, Father God, sort this out for me. But you've got to let go of it, don't you? You've got to release the thing and trust your Father in heaven is going to work the thing out in his time for your ultimate good. And sometimes, yes, that requires patience. Got to wait on God and trust that he's going to work it out in his own time for your good. Rick Warren writes, God says unload all your worries on him. The God who made every thumbprint in the world different, the God who made every snowflake in the world different, and the God who made every voice print in the world different is a big enough God to handle all the details of your life. He is the God of details. He can handle anything you give him. There is no problem that is too big for God's power or too small for God's concern. Ain't that good? In the Lord's Prayer, I think we pray something like, give us this day our daily bread. Every day has some struggles and trials, but here's the thing. Each day we can tell our Father our concerns and say, hey, Dad, give me the grace and wisdom to get through whatever is on my plate today. And Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow, because God will be there tomorrow as well. Paul also says, and thank him for all he has done. I think our Western culture, we carry a bit of entitlement around with us. And that entitlement means that we complain quickly and are slow to thank. Now we think everything's got to go right now, as if we are entitled. Friends, when you start thanking and praising God for the good things that are in your life, the blessings, past and present and future, it lifts your spirits and your joy levels will rise. Friends, the result of prayer and thanks to God, let's read this verse together. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. People throughout the world are desperate for some inner peace. Desperate. Craving for it. Friends, it remains God's gift and birthright to all who trust in Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Because when Jesus is ruling over your heart, then those thugs of worry and anxiety, he guards against those. Amen? Okay, third thing I think from this text today, focus on the good things of God. Friends, would you agree that whatever you are obsessed with, whatever you focus on most in life, that is shaping the type of person you are becoming? Would you agree with that? I mean, character formation, it's happening all the time, for better or for worse. And how our character is formed will depend on what we value most in life, or in other words, what we worship, what is worth the most to us. Now, whatever that is, that's what we feed our minds and hearts with. And whatever our hearts and minds are full of, that's what will come out of us. In our attitudes, words, and actions, it comes back to the character that's formed. Let me give you a couple of examples. If you are infected with the virus, where you've always got to have more and more and more stuff, your heart will be filled with greed. You'll keep looking and longing for more and more stuff. You will end up using people and loving things, and you'll have a house and a shed full of stuff. But if you keep using up people, they're going to keep their distance and you will end up lonely. Another example. If you've got an issue of or addiction to pornography, your heart will be filled with lust and shame. You will tend to use people for your own benefit in unhealthy ways. And you will not be able to sustain healthy, intimate relationships again. You will end up alone. The old principle, you remember, garbage in, what comes out? Garbage. And you're never going to have joy in the Lord while our hearts are messed up with garbage. Paul urges us to lift our sights higher, and he's got a list here. Let's read this together. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Hands up if you do that consistently. It is a struggle, yes. So how can we evaluate what is excellent and worthy of praise? A few questions I think are helpful. First, how does it line up? This thing I'm looking at or considering or thinking about, how does that line up with the Word of God and the Word made flesh in Jesus? Does it mesh in with that? Does this thing I'm focused on, does it point me to Jesus and what he's on about or away from him? Does it draw us into God's love and service of others, or does it urge me to focus on myself? And fourth, does it move us to share the love of Jesus and the good news of Jesus with our community and our world? Friends, I think as we fix our thoughts on what God says is true and honourable and right and pure, lovely and admirable, character will form in us and we will recognise the lies we tell ourselves. We will recognise the dysfunctional things in the culture around us and we'll discern the things that come from the evil one to bend us out of shape. Friends, as we let the Word of God and the Spirit of God grow us and shape us into the character of Jesus, I think some amazing things will happen. A fountain of joy will erupt in this Good Shepherd community and culture. And I think we'll encourage each other to keep our eyes on the things that are excellent and praiseworthy. And that will help us to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And Christ will keep drawing us out of darkness into his amazing light. And the joy of the Lord will be our strength now and forever. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, do this work in us. Lord, help us to focus not just on the rubbish in our world or even the rubbish in our heart, but help us to look to you and to see ourselves identified with you. Children of God, loved and esteemed. Children you delight in. Children you're always walking towards to do good. Children that you give a hope and a future to, and it's on the journey with Jesus. Do this work in us and through us too. In his name and to your glory, Father God. And the people of God said, Amen. I invite you to stand as able for our next song.